Paul Coburn, keeping us fit and well. For Milpark Physiotherapy, call 9436 9666 or visit milparkphysio.com.au.
I just want to wish you well. I just want to wish you well.
We do just want to wish you well. That's why we get Cobes in every week. Hello, Cobes.
Hello, Half. How's it going?
Going well.
Yeah?
Going well.
That's good.
How's yourself? Are
well,
you fitting well?
Yeah, not quite.
What's happened?
Oh, a bit. Running's suffering a bit, actually.
Why?
A bit of Achilles problem.
Have you?
Yeah. Who would have thought?
Old man disease.
Old man disease,
well, that's
yeah.
calves, isn't it? It's not Achilles calf.
Oh, no, we can call it. I think we can lump him in.
Can we?
Yeah.
Well, how are we going to fix that?
Well, I reckon we talk to expert. We just go to the world expert and find out for them. They can tell me what to do.
Well, there's only one person you want to talk
there
to.
There is only one person.
When we get into this area of study.
And that is Professor Jill Cook.
Who's been good enough to join us in the studio. Jill, thank you very much for your time.
Afternoon, Half. Afternoon, Cobes.
Good to have you on, Jill.
Now, Achilles problems, they're the bane of a lot of athletes out there. And they can be significant, as you would well know, Jill. How do they occur? What's the main cause of an Achilles problem?
It's interesting. Achilles is one of the tendons that can affect you across the lifespan. So we see it in our football players and our young people, but we also see it a lot in our older, more recreational athletes. Mm. So it's quite interesting that it affects people across the lifespan. The most important thing and the reason you get into trouble is because you do too much on your Achilles.
And yeah, okay. Well, but how would you monitor that? If you weren't to know that you were doing too much, how would you know? What would be the symptoms or the signs that you are doing too much?
Okay, it's really simple to monitor what you're doing. Firstly, the most important thing is you don't change anything quickly with tendons. So what a tendon likes to do is to get up each day and do about the same amount of load. So we get into trouble with tendons when we suddenly change the load. And you can change it by doing too much. You can change it by changing your shoes, changing where you run, doing more hills,
yep.
Anything like that can really stir up an Achilles.
Well, there's our problem, Cobes. So the weekend warrior particularly, it's a bit different at the elite level these days where you've got monitoring all of this data and the load management, that type of thing. But the weekend warrior all of a sudden finds his fitness kick. It's fitness kick time and just goes from zero to hero very, very quickly. I imagine that is one of the main causes of issues for people out there in the community.
That's right. So all musculoskeletal tissue is sensitive to overload and it's used to doing the load that it's done for the last few months.
Yep.
Now, if you overload a muscle, you get delayed muscle soreness, but that goes away in 2 or 3 days. What happens with a tendon if you overload it? You get sore, but it actually doesn't go away. It can often persist for months, and then you start to do less activity, so your tendon gets less used to load, and it becomes a vicious circle where you have pain, you do less, you get more pain, you do less again,
yep.
And before you know it, you're pretty much not able to do anything, and it's probably the worst thing you can do for a tendon.
Now, Jill, you've been working in this area. I think you started in the late 80s, early 90s, and you weren't a professor then. You weren't someone interested in research. You actually were a sports physio frustrated trying to manage. So is that right? It's about then. You're working with the national basketball team?
That's right. I was actually the thing that provoked me on this path is working with the male Coburg Giants they were at that stage.
So Coburg Giants.
That's right. A long time ago. Where the men particularly are sensitive to patellar tendon issues and patellar tendinopathy. So when they jump a lot
in the knee.
In the knee. That's right.
Yeah.
So I did my PhD in that. But we found that a lot of the principles of what we tried to apply to these patellar tendons was actually useful in other tendons. And the Achilles is very similar in that, again, you know, if you just do too much, it lets you know.
Right. And so when, that's the other thing, when I say she's a world expert, if you don't believe me, just get on Google Scholar, put in Jay Cook under tendons, and you're going to get smashed with articles. So she's written on this with other people, done a huge amount of work on it. But Jill, one of the things you've actually looked at and helped physiotherapists with is understanding the differences in the groupings in a broad sense of Achilles. So previously, you've spoken about there's kind of two broad types of pain in your Achilles. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So in our younger athletes whose tendon is relatively intact, they don't have a lot of pathology. If you do too much, or sometimes if you get a direct blow on it, you get this huge tendon reaction. We call that a reactive tendon. It's a great name for it because it means that the tendon has reacted to the load or the insult that you've put on it. And with those, what happens is if you leave them alone and just don't interfere with them too much, they'll gradually get better. Our second group is our older people who have underlying tendon pathology that might not be symptomatic, so they're a degenerative tendon pathology. When they do something, what happens is they overload the normal part of the tissue and they get a reactive on degenerative tendon. Now, what you have to do with those is settle the reactive part down, which is what you do in the younger people, but then you actually have to make the tendon stronger and more tolerant to load because it's reacted because your load has been too much. So you can't keep trying to load these more degenerative tendons without doing something or doing some rehabilitation to allow it to be a little bit more tolerant to load.
So in that first group, the younger group, the reactive tendon, they're the ones that you do more rest?
Yes, we would not put them on a big exercise program, although there's some great new research by Ebony Rio that's shown isometric exercise are fantastic for reducing pain in these people. But what we do is a lot of isometrics, but just take them off the higher load exercises and higher load activities. Now, for an Achilles, the higher load exercise or activity is the energy storage, so the running, the jumping, the change of direction. So we'd take all that out, put them on an isometric program, maybe some very slow isotonic weight-based program, and then let them settle over, sometimes 4 to 6 weeks before they'll really settle, and then we can gradually build up their higher loads again.
Can I just jump in and ask a question? I want to, Cobes. I'm going to. It's my show. Don't shake your head. I know you're going to continue on with this discussion. I just want to take it back half a step for our listeners who, and you raised a really good point before about when you increase your load, your muscles get sore, and then they respond and they move on. But the tendons don't seem to do that. They get sore and they stay sore. What's the difference in the makeup of those, and why is that the case?
There's a lot of reasons. Tendon tissue is basically doesn't have very many cells, and its right. response is very slow. So tendon cells are indolent. They don't get upset very often or very easily, but yep. when you do upset them, they don't calm down very quickly either.
Sounds like my wife.
I told you not to ask that question, but you have to go ahead with it.
And then very upset tendon cells will create proteins or manufacture proteins that disrupt the structure of the tendon. And then once your structure is disrupted,
right.
it becomes very difficult to reverse that in some cases.
But what about muscle? So can you compare that?
Oh, Cobes, now you're asking.
Oh, yeah,
something.
But it's a much faster process.
It's a much faster process, much more vascular, many more cells. The damage is repaired really quickly.
Is that blood supply, is it?
Yeah, very reversible sort of condition, as you know. As I say, 3 to 4 days with DOMS and you're back you know, doing some things. And the muscle's more tolerant. With tendons, it's all so much slower and so much more sensitive once you've upset a tendon.
Okay, now the bit, I was just worried that Half was going to ask the bit that we keep people listening to the show about.
And that is the hook.
Their isometric exercises, because we're going to talk about those after the break, but we're not at the break yet.
Are we?
So you have to keep listening to find out what those isometric exercises are. You have to keep listening. Mm. But we're going to now talk about the second group. So what do we do with the oldies? It's really about me. what do we do with me in terms of my management of my Achilles?
So if you've upset it and it's a reactive on degenerative tendon, assuming you're old enough to have changes within
it. No problem with that classification.
So we allow the reactive part to settle down and we would use the isometrics and we'd take you off the high load activities, but often only for about 5 to 10 days and then the pain will start to settle. What we then have to do is make your tendon much more able to tolerate the loads that you want to put on it. So we gradually introduce load onto the tendon and we change it in very small steps. So we start with isometrics to settle the pain, then we'll do a strength program, which would be heel lifts at home or heel lifts in the gym.
Heel lifts, Half?
Heel, you love heel. No, you've got heel...
Raise.
Raise, that's different.
No, it's the same
thing.
It's the same thing.
Of course it is. This is where I got it from.
Oh, bloody heel raises really
I know,
again.
I've been pretending it's been mine all along, but it was actually...
Ripping off Jill's work.
Yeah,
it's plagiarism at its best.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry.
Bring you up before the board.
So we do those.
Yes, and that will give you strength mostly in the muscle. Once you've got strength in the muscle, and it's interesting how many people we see when we ask them to stand on one leg and do repeated heel raises, how many people fail before 10 and... If you can only lift your body weight on one leg 10 times, if you go for a run, you're 20 paces down the road and your calf's actually worn out.
Yeah.
And so what happens then is the load comes onto the Achilles and that's why you get into trouble. So the strength work is so critical to giving us a base that we can then work off rehabilitating the tendon. And the tendon rehab's really so much more about the spring-like behaviour in the tendon. So we then progress people to some very gentle double leg skipping, then some alternate leg skipping, and gradually push them back towards more running type activities. But we would be very careful that each day would be a little bit more than the day before. That's what tendons like, not big changes in anything. They like to do the same, and if you're rehabbing them, the same and a little bit more if the tendon is happy.
Paul Coburn, keeping us fit and well for Mill Park Physio, and our very special guest, Professor Jill Cook. And we're talking Achilles tendons today. And for your knowledge, Jill, we have some very learned listeners out there, and we have some unbelievable athletes who listen to this program and are listening to you talk about this right now. And multi-megastar Olympian James Tompkins of the Awesome Foursome fame, he's listening. He's just sent a message in. It says, it takes a long time, and I mean long, but it can be fixed and you can get back to 100%. Is that right?
Yes, that's absolutely true. And where we get into trouble is everyone's looking for a quick fix. So they want to go somewhere, get a single intervention and walk out feeling fantastic. And the answer is that doesn't solve any tendon problems, because tendons are slow, as we've talked about. We often see people who have poor strength and poor function. And the only thing that protects you from having more tendon disease or more tendon pain is to have really great function. So you can't become strong and healthy and powerful and all of the things you need to protect your tendon. You can't do that in a day, and you can't do it with an injection. You actually have to do the rehabilitation time.
And that in itself is an issue for some people, isn't it? Following that program and adhering to that program.
Absolutely. Mm. Adherence is one of the hardest things. What we tend to see is people will fail two or three times because they don't stick to it, or they go looking for a quick fix. But after the third or fourth time, they realise that they actually have to do the hard yards, and that's when we tend to get them to stay on the program a bit better.
How do they monitor themselves? How are they getting on?
Yeah, it's really simple. The Achilles is a fantastic tendon, because we find that morning stiffness and morning pain is a great monitor of how the tendons responded to load. So what we tell people with Achilles tendon is, if you've done a load on one day, if your stiffness and pain in the morning the next day is the same or better, then the tendon is happy with what you've done. If you increase your load and your morning stiffness and pain increases the next day, that's the tendon talking to you and telling you that it's unhappy with what you've done.
Yep.
So it's really easy to monitor your own rehabilitation by monitoring your morning stiffness and pain, how long you're stiff for and how painful you are. And what you're looking for is to increase your load and for that to either go down or to actually stay the same. Either or would be good, but you don't want it going up.
Good.
You've been promising us, Cobes, to find out, our listeners, to find out what these isometric exercises you were talking about are. Can you can we work out what that is now, so our listeners can understand?
Yeah, can you tell us about that, Jill?
Yeah, isometrics, we don't really know why they're working, but we know that Ebony's work has shown that they're having an effect on the brain. So they're reducing cortical inhibition, but how that directly affects pain is unknown. But all you need to do is to stand on two legs if you're very painful, or one leg if you're not quite as painful, and hold a muscle contraction. So hold your heel off the ground by about 7 or 8 centimetres for about 30 to 45 seconds, and then come down and give yourself a break for about a minute or two, and then repeat it. And what we tend to do is four lots of 45 seconds of holds, and then you can use it 3 or 4 times a day. What we find is people will report being having much less pain for 2 to 3, sometimes 4 to 5 hours after doing the isometrics. So what we say is, do them in the morning, do them again at lunchtime, do them again at night, and people get great pain relief. And that allows us then to do other things and to do the rehab when the pain is really controlled by the isometrics.
Now, Jill, we've the wonders of modern technology. Mm-hmm. We're going to upload that onto Twitter.
We are.
We hope.
You're going to put it on your Twitter account.
Cobes Fit and Well.
And I'm going to retweet it from Halftime SCN. We've done a video through the break. We did the exercise. We showed you with my very powerful calves.
Oh, yes. That was impressive. But be aware at home that you're not going to have these very powerful calves.
You may.
So that's something you can look at in a minute, these exercises that Jill talks about. Now, while we're on the topic of tendons, Jill, you've been looking at tendons all over the body, and another area that people complain about, particularly Women around about their 40s and 50s can start to get pain on the outside of their hip. You're running a study on that at the moment. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's right. It's called GTPS or greater trochanteric pain syndrome. But you're right, it's pain on the outside of the hip and it's associated with the gluteal tendons. We see it in women who are postmenopausal. So 40 to 50 is probably a little young, but certainly after 50. Now, what these women experience is pain going upstairs, pain when they sit with their legs crossed, but most importantly, sleeping on their side. So they get a lot of pain either when they're directly on the hip or even when they're over on the other side. And it's all about the tendon being compressed against the bone. It's very disabling. Angie Fearon did a great study where she showed that even though it's just a tendon pain, it's actually as disabling as having severe OA in your hip. So right. These women are reducing their activity, unable to sometimes do even daily activities because they're so disabled by their pain.
Gee, well, how could people get involved in that? Is there a way that they can get involved in that?
So the study's comparing hormone replacement therapy, so people have to be postmenopausal, and exercise therapy. And to be involved, you need to contact Charlotte Ganderton, who's running the study at La Trobe University, and her number is 9479-1389. Or you can contact her on email, which is c.ganderton, that's GANDERTON, at latrobe.edu.au.
Well, as you said, the number 9479-1389 if you apply for that study. Can I ask you back to the Achilles for a second? When is chemical intervention, I just need to ask you this, chemical intervention require, like cortisone, for inflammation and pain? When does that kick in?
Cortisone's quite an interesting medication. It's probably used less than some of the therapies that are meant to stimulate healing in a tendon. So the PRPs and the autologous blood, that's probably more common. It's advocated for people with very short-term pain, very long-term pain. I would argue very strongly that if you hop like a duck because your function is poor and you have an injection in your tendon, it doesn't change how you hop, and that you have to do the rehab to change your function and your strength.
Right.
And there's some fantastic research by Sean Docking who's shown that people with Achilles tendon, this is new research we've just published, people with Achilles tendinopathy actually have more normal tendon tissue than people with normal tendons. That is, the tendon is quite capable of manufacturing great tendon tissue to compensate for the area of pathology. So what this means is we actually don't have to treat the area of pathology. We need to exercise and strengthen the normal part of the tendon because we have plenty of it. And that's really exciting research that suggests that some of these injection therapies don't really have a place in treating tendons.
Which is consistent with some of the other topics we've covered, Cobes, where exercise and movement and rehabilitation has been more encouraged than the medical intervention.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the trouble with that is, Cookie, we're all looking for a fast, you know, a fast result or a big change. But we've been talking about this for years. It hasn't changed, has it? It's just the same thing over. You've got to do the work, particularly for tendons.
That's right. And if you inject a tendon, some people say, oh, well, I had one and it made me feel fantastic. But what happens is you rest and you unload the tendon because you've got a bit of pain from your injection. Your doctor said to have 2 to 3 weeks off. So your tendon gets some rest, which is sort of what we advocate with exercise to rehab a tendon anyway. So sometimes when you compare it, injection versus placebo with exercise, there's actually no difference. So it's the exercise that makes the difference.
Yep.
And sometimes the injection just mandates that you do the right thing by your tendon.
Now, just we've spoken specifically about sort of one entity, and we've had a couple of SMSs talking about bone spurs, etc., which raises the question that really you need to get an accurate diagnosis of your condition by someone who's got experience with this particular conditions such as a sports physiotherapist or a sports physician.
Absolutely. And one of the interesting things is that the imaging appearance of your tendon, so you can have bone spurs or big areas pathology, actually doesn't predict whether you're symptomatic or not. And that's we do have to be careful with an accurate diagnosis, because mostly it's clinical, because the imaging can look terrible and you can have no symptoms, or it can look fantastic and you can be very symptomatic. So we have to be careful to marry up, and that's why you need an expert to marry up what you can see on imaging and actually how you present. because making a diagnosis or a series of clinical decisions based on the pictures is not always a good idea.
Now, we've got to re-advertise the tendon study because otherwise we won't get Professor Jill Cook, world expert, coming back.
Well, we better do that then.
We better.
Now, GTPS, if you've got GTPS, I assume if you've got it, you know what that is. Something trochanteric pain syndrome?
Greater trochanteric pain syndrome.
But it's pain on the side. Look, you know who you are. Pain on the side of your hip.
You were talking about women predominantly before. Are males and men available to get involved in this study? Because Pete's got this same sort of pain, he tells me off the SMS.
Yes, no, because it's using hormone replacement therapy as a treatment.
Sorry, Pete.
We can't take men into this study.
But if you want to get involved, you are postmenopausal. That's what we're dealing with. For women who have this GTPS, greater trochanteric pain syndrome, you need to get involved in this study. 94791389 or email cganderton, G-A-N-D-E-R-T-O-N, at latrobe.edu.au.
C.Ganderton.
C.Ganderton.
Charlotte, she's a very smart young physio. Watch your space. We'll be getting her back here
in
30 years' time.
She part of the halftime team?
No, about to. She's still starting. She's got to actually do a bit more, actually. But we'll be getting her. But in 30 years' time, we'll be getting her.
You have
back.
To be world-renowned like
Professor
Jill Cook.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, myself.
We have had enormous feedback from our machine here and all our tweets as well, Jill. So there's a lot of people dealing with Achilles and tendon problems, and they're listening to this going, thank goodness we've a bit more clear in our mind as to how we deal with that. So we thank you very much for your expertise and for coming in this afternoon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.